ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება მესამე ვარიანტი. ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება მესამე ვარიანტი. იმ შემთხვევაში, თუ ჩანაწერი ცუდად ისმის, გთხოვთ ახლავე აცნობოთ მეთვალყურეს. თქვენ მონიტორზე დაინახავთ მოსმენის დავალების შეკითხვებს. გთხოვთ მოუსმინოთ აუდიო ჩანაწერს და ისე შეასრულოთ დავალება.
Task 1. You are going to listen to 5 texts. For each of them, answer the 2 questions given. Mark the correct answer A, B, or C. You have 20 seconds to look through the task. You will hear the recording twice. Text 1.
My name is Chloe Stewart. I was born in the United Kingdom, but I live in the United States now. I am a photographer and I enjoy taking photos of different weather conditions. Last year, I spent several months in Australia and came back to the United States with great photos. I hope to arrange an exhibition of my Australian photos in Soho Photo Gallery in New York. Taking photos is not very difficult. What you need is the right camera. It doesn't need to be expensive or very new. I've had my old Canon camera since the 1990s, but I don't usually use a digital camera. Photos taken by a digital camera look very artificial. My name is Chloe Stewart. I was born in the United Kingdom, but I live in the United States now. I am a photographer and I enjoy taking photos of different weather conditions. Last year, I spent several months in Australia and came back to the United States with great photos. I hope to arrange an exhibition of my Australian photos in Soho Photo Gallery in New York. Taking photos is not very difficult. What you need is the right camera. It doesn't need to be expensive or very new. I've had my old Canon camera since the 1990s, but I don't usually use a digital camera. Photos taken by a digital camera look very artificial.
Text 2. Situated where Europe and Asia meet, Istanbul is the largest city and a busy port of Turkey. Istanbul is full of mosques, markets, palaces, and museums. The city has a long history which started more than 2,500 years ago. One of the city's places of interest is without doubt Hagia Sophia, the oldest Christian cathedral. It was built in the 4th century by the Roman Emperor Constantine. 1,000 years later, after the Turks conquered Istanbul, Mehmet II changed this Christian church into a Muslim mosque. Then, 500 years after that, in 1935, Hagia Sophia Cathedral became a museum which displayed both Christian and Muslim treasures. The Bosporus Bridge is another of Istanbul's modern tourist attractions. The Bosporus itself is a narrow passage of water connecting two larger areas of the sea. The Bosporus Bridge, which is one of several bridges across this narrow passage of water, is the longest bridge in Europe. The bridge cost around $200 million to build. Situated where Europe and Asia meet, Istanbul is the largest city and a busy port of Turkey. Istanbul is full of mosques, markets, palaces, and museums. The city has a long history which started more than 2,500 years ago. One of the city's places of interest is without doubt Hagia Sophia, the oldest Christian cathedral. It was built in the 4th century by the Roman Emperor Constantine. 1,000 years later, after the Turks conquered Istanbul, Mehmet II changed this Christian church into a Muslim mosque. Then, 500 years after that, in 1935, Hagia Sophia Cathedral became a museum which displayed both Christian and Muslim treasures. The Bosporus Bridge is another of Istanbul's modern tourist attractions. The Bosporus itself is a narrow passage of water connecting two larger areas of the sea. The Bosporus Bridge, which is one of several bridges across this narrow passage of water, is the longest bridge in Europe. The bridge cost around $200 million to build. Text 3.
If you're looking for a festival of culture and color, then the Hindu festival called Holi is for you. It is liked by many people and is mainly celebrated in India and Nepal, but in recent years the festival has spread to parts of Europe and North America. During this festival, thousands of Hindus make open-air fires, throw colored powder at each other, and celebrate the beginning of the new season of spring. Holi is a two-day festival which starts on the full moon day somewhere between the end of February and the middle of March. It is an Hindu religious festival which celebrates the victory of good over evil and the arrival of spring. However, for many people, it is a time to meet friends and play and laugh with them. The Holi festival has become popular with non-Hindus in some parts of the world. It is also celebrated as a thanksgiving for a good harvest. If you're looking for a festival of culture and color, then the Hindu festival called Holi is for you. It is liked by many people and is mainly celebrated in India and Nepal, but in recent years the festival has spread to parts of Europe and North America. During this festival, thousands of Hindus make open-air fires, throw colored powder at each other, and celebrate the beginning of the new season of spring. Holi is a two-day festival which starts on the full moon day somewhere between the end of February and the middle of March. It is an Hindu religious festival which celebrates the victory of good over evil and the arrival of spring. However, for many people, it is a time to meet friends and play and laugh with them. The Holi festival has become popular with non-Hindus in some parts of the world. It is also celebrated as a thanksgiving for a good harvest.
Text 4. In the Soviet period, Georgian cinematography was successfully developing. Tbilisi Film Studio was known as one of the top three studios in the Soviet Union. However, Georgian cinematography ceased to exist when the Soviet Union fell to pieces in 1991. This was followed by civil war and economic problems. Because the country was not able to finance films, the industry infrastructure soon came to an end. However, little by little, Georgian films and modern Georgian film directors came back on the scene. The fact that two Georgian films, Corn Island and Tangerines, were nominated for an Oscar shows that even with limited finances, it is possible to make world-class films. Meanwhile, a new generation of Western-educated Georgian filmmakers began to appear, and these newcomers show that they are good at making feature films that receive positive reviews. In the Soviet period, Georgian cinematography was successfully developing. Tbilisi Film Studio was known as one of the top three studios in the Soviet Union. However, Georgian cinematography ceased to exist when the Soviet Union fell to pieces in 1991. This was followed by civil war and economic problems. Because the country was not able to finance films, the industry infrastructure soon came to an end. However, little by little, Georgian films and modern Georgian film directors came back on the scene. The fact that two Georgian films, Corn Island and Tangerines, were nominated for an Oscar shows that even with limited finances, it is possible to make world-class films. Meanwhile, a new generation of Western-educated Georgian filmmakers began to appear, and these newcomers show that they are good at making feature films that receive positive reviews. Text 5.
Giant creatures of the prehistoric world, such as dinosaurs, ancient varieties of tigers, and woolly mammoths, continue to fascinate us. They make us wonder about the state of our world when these creatures lived on the earth. The woolly mammoths, who were elephant-like creatures, for instance, lived on the earth even when the Egyptian pharaohs were busy building the pyramids of Giza. The woolly mammoths are the ancestors of the present-day Asian elephants. Mammoths are one of the most widely studied animals of prehistoric times. The drawings of these animals found in ancient caves have allowed scientists to study the appearance and behavior of these giants. These mammoths were used to living in ice age conditions. These giant creatures ate plants like present-day elephants. Mammoths had short ears and tails and two layers of fur protecting them against extreme cold. Giant creatures of the prehistoric world, such as dinosaurs, ancient varieties of tigers, and woolly mammoths, continue to fascinate us. They make us wonder about the state of our world when these creatures lived on the Earth. The woolly mammoths, who were elephant-like creatures, for instance, lived on the Earth even when the Egyptian pharaohs were busy building the pyramids of Giza. The woolly mammoths are the ancestors of the present-day Asian elephants. Mammoths are one of the most widely studied animals of prehistoric times. The drawings of these animals found in ancient caves have allowed scientists to study the appearance and behavior of these giants. These mammoths were used to living in ice age conditions. These giant creatures ate plants like present-day elephants. Mammoths had short ears and tails and two layers of fur protecting them against extreme cold.
Task 2. You are going to listen to one text with 8 questions. Mark the correct answer A, B, or C. You now have 30 seconds to look through the task. You will then hear the recording twice.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sharon Lovejoy. I'm the author of many books about gardening. I'd like to talk about how I started writing books about gardening. My book, Make Your Garden Unique, is for that category of people who enjoy gardening but are unsuccessful at it. As you know, some people buy some plants and put them in their garden when they move into a new house. But unfortunately, they are not able to grow trees and flowers in their gardens, though they use high-quality plants. Why don't they get professional gardeners, you may ask? Because their services cost a lot of money, and in addition, gardening brings joy to many people. My readers think I must come from a family of gardeners, but both my parents are water sports teachers. They did their best to interest me in some kind of sport, but my poor health did not allow me to do any. Throughout my life, I've worked in different places. While working for the National Nature Reserve, I was asked to write about my day at work for an environmental project. I have always been good at writing. I won a short story prize at school and wrote a couple of interesting essays at college, but I had no real passion for writing then. Only when I wrote for an environmental project, I realized how exciting writing could be. So one day, sometime later, I saw an advert in a magazine. The magazine was looking for a journalist who would write about gardening. I applied immediately. I thought I could do it parallel with gardening. I got the job, and after a while, I became an editor. As editors work irregular hours, it didn't leave me time for gardening. I liked my job, but I loved gardening even more. Consequently, I decided it was time for a change, and I left the job. My bosses weren't very happy about it, I must say. So I went back to gardening. At the same time, I started writing a book, and I've never regretted it, really. My first book was received with enthusiasm. As a result, I started working on my second book about gardens around the world. Writing books isn't an easy thing to do. It takes years of experience to learn to write attractively. In my opinion, my book was a success because I included interviews in a way that amused the readers and not just dry information. Of course, the information was correct and well-researched, but any writer does the same thing while writing. Today, many magazines and books on gardening include a lot of photographs, and it's good. But those pictures mostly show how things might be and not how they really are. I don't like that. In contrast to those books, my book contains real-life photographs, which brought many people into gardening. The text is still an important part, though. Readers do not just buy beautiful pictures, you know. Recently, I have been asked to take part in a TV program, but I haven't decided to take this job yet. It's true I'll have less time for writing, but it's a good idea to do something else from time to time. The idea is to interview the people who have the most amazing gardens in Europe. It's also true that such a TV program could make me a celebrity immediately, but I'm not ready for the situation when I get recognized in the street, although my publisher says that's something I should really be happy about. Hello, everybody. I'm Sharon Lovejoy. I'm the author of many books about gardening. I'd like to talk about how I started writing books about gardening. My book, Make Your Garden Unique, is for that category of people who enjoy gardening but are unsuccessful at it. As you know, some people buy some plants and put them in their garden when they move into a new house. But unfortunately, they are not able to grow trees and flowers in their gardens, though they use high-quality plants. Why don't they get professional gardeners, you may ask? Because their services cost a lot of money, and in addition, gardening brings joy to many people. My readers think I must come from a family of gardeners, but both my parents are water sports teachers. They did their best to interest me in some kind of sport, but my poor health did not allow me to do any. Throughout my life, I've worked in different places. While working for the National Nature Reserve, I was asked to write about my day at work for an environmental project. I have always been good at writing. I won a short story prize at school and wrote a couple of interesting essays at college, but I had no real passion for writing then. Only when I wrote for an environmental project, I realized how exciting writing could be. So one day, sometime later, I saw an advert in a magazine. The magazine was looking for a journalist who would write about gardening. I applied immediately. I thought I could do it parallel with gardening. I got the job, and after a while, I became an editor. As editors work irregular hours, it didn't leave me time for gardening. I liked my job, but I loved gardening even more. Consequently, I decided it was time for a change, and I left the job. My bosses weren't very happy about it, I must say. So I went back to gardening. At the same time, I started writing a book, and I've never regretted it, really. My first book was received with enthusiasm. As a result, I started working on my second book about gardens around the world. Writing books isn't an easy thing to do. It takes years of experience to learn to write attractively. In my opinion, my book was a success because I included interviews in a way that amused the readers and not just dry information. Of course, the information was correct and well-researched, but any writer does the same thing while writing. Today, many magazines and books on gardening include a lot of photographs, and it's good. But those pictures mostly show how things might be and not how they really are. I don't like that. In contrast to those books, my book contains real-life photographs, which brought many people into gardening. The text is still an important part, though. Readers do not just buy beautiful pictures, you know. Recently, I have been asked to take part in a TV program, but I haven't decided to take this job yet. It's true I'll have less time for writing, but it's a good idea to do something else from time to time. The idea is to interview the people who have the most amazing gardens in Europe. It's also true that such a TV program could make me a celebrity immediately, but I'm not ready for the situation when I get recognized in the street, although my publisher says that's something I should really be happy about.
This is the end of the listening part.
Მოსმენის დავალება დასრულებულია.